Morning, everyone. How are you today? Did somebody say terrible? You are in the right place. God is very good at dealing with terrible situations, you know. Let me sort myself out. Give me a few minutes to sort myself out. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to sort myself out. How many of you were here for Lydia's wedding recently? Yeah, I'll share this with you. I recently got a pair of glasses. You know, when you start to approach 40 or thereabout or above 40, you start to see two instead of one. And for a long time, I was refusing to accept that. So I was claiming healing. When I came for Lydia's wedding, and the room was not as bright as this, there was some lighting system, and I don't know if you remember, I was struggling to read, trying to join them together. I was struggling to read from my book. I said, "Lord," I went back home, "Lord, you need to heal my eyes. I refuse to accept that I can't, you know, that I have problem with my vision." And recently, I was conducting a funeral. In the cemetery chapel, the lighting was even more terrible. As I tried to conduct the funeral, I found out that I couldn't read from my pamphlet. Jew had to lend me her reading glasses. So it was then I caught the revelation. So I went to Boots and got a pair of glasses. That ties in nicely what I'm going to share with you today, if I can find it. Dave, what have you done with my sermon notes? My wife is not here, so I've got to blame somebody. Hallelujah. The title of my sermon today is this. It works better that way, doesn't it? The Spirit-Led Church. The Spirit-Led Church. Can everybody hear me? Yes. Can you understand my accent? Yes. Does it work well for you? Yes. If it doesn't, bad luck. I can't change it now. It's too late. But I'll try and speak slowly so that you can follow me. If you don't understand it, you won't be the first, because my wife doesn't understand it either. And she's a Nigerian. Today, I want to share with you, after discussing with Dave, I met with Dave on Thursday, and he gave me this bookmark. And yesterday, when I was preparing for the sermon on Friday, and I saw it, says Jubilee Church 2015 goals. The number one on the list is who? Can remember? Come on, tell me. Huh? Sound like you know it. Pretend at least that you know it. Prayer. Yes, you're right, but I just want you to say it confidently. Yeah, it was right. Just want you to be confident. What's the second thing? Holy Spirit. Good. And the third? The poor. And the fourth? Cell group. And the fifth? Good. And it is interesting that the first thing you have on the list there is prayer. I'm going to talk on the Spirit-led church. I'm going to major on prayer. See, the church is the body of Christ, and he is the head. And as you all know, the head is responsible for giving the body life and for coordinating the functional activities of the whole body. You see, when you have a heart problem and the heart is failing, if you're lucky to get a heart transplant, you're okay. At least it buys you time. When your kidney is failing and you get kidney transplant, you're okay. But when the head is gone, how many of you have had head transplant before? Have you heard of head transplant anywhere? If you separate the head from the body is what? Dead. And it has no chance of ever coming back to life. The Bible says that Christ is the head of his church. I don't know if you've noticed that we have all our five senses in our head. You can feel. You can smell. Your mouth, your nose, your hearing. It's all in your head, isn't it? And the brain then translates information to the different parts of the body for your muscles to function. It's all where? The head. We're able to see today, not just because our eyes are here, but the brain is able to translate colors that we see, you know, to make meaning out of what we see because of the head. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. Christ, as the head of the church, controls his church. And the church that is not in tune with Christ will struggle to live a true life that he brings. And when Christ, let me read the scripture for you, I will move, because I need to move on quickly. In John chapter 16, verse 5 to 7, this was Jesus speaking to his disciples. John chapter 16, verse 5 to 7. But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going to? I'm reading from the Amplified Translations. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. In bracket here, he says it is good, it is expedient, it is advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor will not come. But if I go away, I will send him to you. This is Jesus telling us here that he was going away. He's the head of his church. He's going away. Going to where? Where was he going to at this time? Huh? I want feedback. I want your response. He was going to where?
Heaven.
Good. When you say it, say it like you know it. This is what I try to tell my daughter. She answers the question and she's not too confident. I said, look, it's okay to be confident and be wrong than be right and not confident. You guys, you're thinking, you're trying to process that. You see? If you are confident, if you are right and you're not confident, you don't speak out. Your voice is not heard. Yeah, your voice is not heard. The good ideas you have, nobody hears it, so they die with you. If you are wrong and you are confident and you say it, somebody will correct you. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody will tell you are wrong, then you will learn. Either way, it's better to be confident. You don't have to agree with me, but thank God I have the microphone. You know. So, where was I? He was going to where? Heaven. To be with the Father. Sit at the Father's right hand. And then in when Jesus finished his work and he died on the cross, he said it was finished and he went to heaven. He died, he resurrected, he ascended, and he went to be with the Father. So where is Jesus right now?
In heaven.
Good. She sounds confident. Good. Whether she's right or wrong, but at least she spoke out. You're right. So he's in heaven. So if Jesus is in heaven, where is his church? Okay. I don't know if you get where I'm going to. Jesus is in heaven. He's the head of the church. The church is his body. We're on earth. So where is his head? Where is our head? Okay. Our head is in heaven. Our body is on earth. I like that. At least you spoke out. But the truth is, he also promised us before he left. He said, I will send who? Comforter. Who will do what? Take his place. It's the same Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the Father. And so Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. So who is the head of the body here now? It's okay because it's the same as Christ. You understand what I'm saying? He's the one. So the Holy Spirit is the head of the body. So if the Holy Spirit being the head of the body of his church, it's not leading his church. If I, part of this Jubilee Church, part of the body of Christ, if the church has to move in the power and the mind and the will of God, it's got to be led from the head. That's the Holy Spirit. So if, say, not Jubilee Church, say another church, God, somebody with good ideas, start to lead the church without the Holy Spirit. Somebody with a very intelligent leader, pastor, very gifted, charismatic, you know, somebody who's gifted, or, you know, there are some people that sometimes you look at them and say, but you're so unfair. How can you put all this gift in one person? Why can't you just share it? Some of us are struggling to tap into one, and God just blessed some with hundreds of gifts and talents, and they are good all around. If you have somebody like that leading the church, there will be many things happening. The church will probably be packed full. People come to see this charismatic leader with good ideas that helps to encourage people, support people, nurture love, bring some good teachings that they read from the book. But if it's not Christ that is leading that church, is that church alive or dead? But there will be activities within the church, but the church dead. There will be religious activities going on. The church door can be open 24/7 and you have 7 services a day. And yet if the Spirit of God is not the one leading, the church is, help me say it. If it's not God who is leading, the church is? And so, I'm sorry to say, there are very many, many, many dead churches today. There are many things they do that we would love to copy. They're actually touching lives and blessing lives, releasing people to function in whatever ministry that God has called them. Yet, dead. The thing that I am afraid of the most in life is standing before the Father and he says, Desmond, I don't recognize the work that you've done because it wasn't by me. Yet, I've been busy all my life. If I tell you my work schedule, how busy I am, I woke up 4:30 this morning. Spend some time to pray, read my Bible. And by that was it late for me. And by 6 o'clock, I was out of the house praying, prayer work. By the time I came back, it was about 7:30. And I came back, washed my car. Not spiritual. I'm sure you were expecting something more spiritual. And then just went through my sermon again, printed some things out, and then I came here. But if all these things I've done, anything I've done that I've just said I've done, is there anything wrong there in what I have done? Does this sound spiritual? Will it fit into our religious book? It should. But you know, I could have done all of those things without God. You know, it's possible. Not led by the Spirit. And yet, I'll be able to tick my holy book that I have fulfilled all these conditions. You know what I'm saying? And when I share it with you, you say, wow, I make you feel guilty. You woke up 4:30, and I just managed to wake up at 9:30. And you know that in waking up at 9:30, you could have met with God in a deeper way than God met with me, because you are being led by the Spirit. So Jesus went to heaven. He left the Holy Spirit here. And the Holy Spirit is now leading on the church. He's the head of the church. So what should we do as the body if we have to leave? What should we do? Can we ever risk anything without the Holy Spirit? Should we even dare to do anything without the Holy Spirit? Remember, before Jesus left, I think it's in Luke, he said to them, he said, wait, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be filled with power. So the church was not equipped to do anything until they were filled. And so he told them, don't do anything. Stay in one place. You are not allowed to carry out any ministry until the Holy Spirit comes. That's what he told them. Do nothing. So what was he expecting them to do? To wait. Nothing that you do outside of the Holy Spirit counts in the kingdom of heaven. However good it may sound to man, but to God it's worth absolutely nothing. He said, you are not fit for purpose until the Holy Spirit comes. And the church did what? They went to the upper room. The Bible said that they waited. In Acts chapter 1, it does help to use it. Can we open to the book of Acts chapter 1 quickly, please? When do I need to finish so that I can? 15 minutes. Acts chapter 1. The scripture I read before was Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. In Acts 1, 18, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you and shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. That in 1 verse 14, after Jesus went to heaven, see what the disciples did. All of these with their minds in full agreement devoted themselves steadfastly to what? Because he asked them to wait. So how did they wait? They waited in prayer. My first point. As far as the church is concerned, the Holy Spirit is the Father's only plan for true living. As far as we are concerned, God has one plan. It's the Holy Spirit. God has only one plan. He has one answer for every question you will ever ask. Whatever problem you come to encounter, God has one answer. Holy Spirit. If that's God's only answer, then your only answer in life should be who? Spirit. We should not do anything without the Holy Spirit. We cannot function as believers, as the body of Christ, as a church, without the Holy Spirit. We cannot carry out anything that is of value, that is of any meaning to the kingdom of heaven, without the Holy Spirit. So my question to you today, how do you relate to the Holy Spirit? Do you know Him? Do you know His ways? Do you recognize His voice when He speaks? Do you check with Him when you make your brilliant plans? Many of us think the Holy Spirit is only relevant in the church. We think we only need His help in His church. And sometimes, too, we carry out church activities and services, sidelining the Holy Spirit. I'm sure not this church. We can rehearse our songs and perfect it and master it and play it well without Him. And preach my sermon. I've researched on the internet, read many books, and prayed over it. You know, God bless the words of my mouth. Doesn't matter what you think. And I come here and deliver it eloquently without the Holy Spirit. See, the danger for us as a church, as the body of Christ, as humans, is that we live in two worlds, the world of the realm of the Spirit and the natural realm, and we are able to function in both of them. And because we are able to do that, it's easy to live a natural life, giving a spiritual name. Because if you cut off my head now, something happened, my head is separated from my body, I would die, I can't function. But unfortunately, as Christians, I can't be separated from my head, which is the Christ, and still function as a human being. And many of us, we don't even know when the Holy Spirit is not there. Unfortunately, some of us can function without the Holy Spirit for a year or two, and three, and four, and five. Before, if we even realize that He's not there. But with the time has come for us to recognize that outside of the Holy Spirit, there is no life. It's not like there is no good life. There is no life at all. The church has no life outside of the Holy Spirit. No man has the ability to live the life of the kingdom, but we have the capacity to host the Holy Spirit, who alone has the ability to live the life of the kingdom. God did not equip you. When He made you, He did not make us to have the ability to live the kingdom life. That's why He told the disciples, do nothing until He comes. But within us, He has created a capacity to host Him. So that we, being His host, He starts to function in our name. He starts to operate in our name. See, Christian life can be easy if we know how to live it. Imagine, let's look at the story of David and Goliath. David was, by my imagination, a short man like me. That's why I know that I have hope. You know, and Goliath, that mighty, tall, frightening man. See, when David came in the name of the Lord, many of us don't understand. See, that's a good picture of the Holy Spirit. When David came, there was the Holy Spirit inside of him that was functioning. Goliath only saw a small young man. When David stepped out, he stepped out in the mind of the Spirit of God. He said, you have come to me with your sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of Israel, who you have defied. So he came in the name of the Lord. Many of us, when we hear the word, the name of the Lord, so he called God's name. No. He came in the person of the Lord. There was the Spirit of the Lord that was inside him. When David threw that stone, he wasn't the one that threw it. It was the Spirit of God. There was a strength mightier than that of David. David had not enough strength to release a stone that would break the skull of a man who had a helmet. The man saw David. But David knew that it was God that was releasing the stone. And the stone, when God throws a stone, it hits the right target. He went through the helmet. There was a tiny space there for just enough for stones to go through. When they hit the target, break his skull, and the man fell down. Many people before David, bigger and more experienced and more equipped, died in the hand of Goliath. But a man who knew how to pray and who knew how to submit to the Holy Spirit brought down the mighty Goliath. The church will be a powerful church when we learn how to wait on the Holy Spirit, which is my next point. So the Holy Spirit is God's plan. A church that wants to move in power and be led by the Holy Spirit have to learn how to wait. Jesus said, wait until he comes. But many of us are not good at waiting. We are in a hurry. We are in a rush. We want to do it. If I don't do it now, the time will run out. See, in life, we have ultimatum. We have this window of opportunity, this short time. And that's how our brain is programmed. Short time. It's got to work within this time frame. If it doesn't work, you lose it. But remember, time was made for man, not for God. God does not follow any man's time. Whatever timing you have, it's for you. And God likes to mess up our plan, doesn't he? When you've programmed it, you've planned it, by this time we'll do this and do that, and God will just let you do everything and nothing happens. And then we come back to the drawing board and we start to ask, did we really hear God? So why don't we pray now? And God said, now you're ready. See, the children of Israel, the disciples had to wait and they prayed. And then when the Holy Spirit also came, the Bible says that they waited on the apostles, they learned the apostles' doctrine and they did what? Pray. There was always a waiting in prayer. And so a church that learns how to wait is a church that is led by the Holy Spirit. When you learn how to wait on the Lord, not bring your agenda to God, but learn to wait to catch what is on his heart. How many of you know what's on God's heart for you today, this week, this month, this year? How many of you know what is on God's heart for your children? God gave them to you to look after, to support. What's God's plan for your child? Do you know? But you know your plan for your children. And you think God doesn't have a plan? Have you bothered to ask? Have you bothered to wait? If your child is that important to you, surely you want to know what God's plan is for him or her. What's God's plan for this church? Sometimes you think it's only the pastor that should know. We as Christians need to know how to pray and wait on the Lord and say, Pastor, this is what I think God is saying to us. I'm going to round up now because my time is gone. I was part of Chizzy Christian Center. I'm still part of Chizzy Christian Center, planted by Kessington Temple, which is an Elim church. And I was part of the leadership. I'm still part of the leadership there because they planted our church. And there was a day I was praying. Actually, I'll tell you a very brief story. Can I just take 2-3 minutes, please? Please. You know when a pastor says 2-3 minutes? All I need is just that permission to do it, and then the grace of God can extend it always. No, I won't do that to you, Dave. I promise I won't. I was in Chiswick then, and the Lord started to plant the things of the kingdom in my heart. I don't know where it came from. Every time I heard the word kingdom, I was just excited. So I opened my Bible, started to underline it. Dave was aware then. I was sharing with him. We met together regularly. And I used to wake up to pray. God would wake me up at about 5. I wasn't that kind of person that wake up 5. I would stay up late to pray, but not wake up early. And God would wake me up at about 5 to pray. It was a season like that. And 5 o'clock, it's as if somebody tapped me on my shoulder, and I'll get up, and I'll start to say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? I try to sleep. I can't sleep. Then after 2 or 3 times, I suddenly realized that maybe I should be praying. So I'll go downstairs, and I start to pray. And one day, because as a black Pentecostal, you know, we noisy, we shout loud, we can't stand still, we just move around. And that's the kind of church I grew up in. And so I would get up, I would sing, I would clap, I would read my Bible, not knowing what to do with myself for 2 hours. And do everything, and the time was still about just 5 minutes, 10 minutes gone. And then, anyway, I did that for a few weeks. And one day, the Lord called me. I went downstairs to pray, and I had a voice that I thought was in my head. It sounded like it was coming from behind me. And he said, sit down. And I thought, that can't be God. How can he wake me up to pray? And he asked me to sit down. Surely he would want me to pray. So I ignored it. So I started to pray and speak in tongues and tried even louder, shut the door. And then I said, keep quiet and sit down. While I was arguing this in my head, then I had, you know, God shouts sometimes, you know. The voice was louder. I said, sit down there. Like my father used to speak to me. Then I got up. I sat down. But this time I was really angry within me. You know, God is gracious, you know. This tiny little man angry with God because he asked me to sit down. And I sat down. And in my head, I was standing up, even though I was sitting. But deep down in my heart, I, you know how you do with your parents? You say, you want me to sit? Yes, but deep down in me, I was standing up. And I was angry, and I heard God said, rest your back and try to relax. Because now I was really tensed. I'm thinking, what's God trying to do? Trying to put me to sleep? And I did that. I relaxed. And he said, release the chair. So I pulled the handle, it came out, and I rested and stayed there. By this time, it was 5 minutes past 5, and I was looking at the time, counting the seconds. It sounded like eternity. It took forever for it to be 10 minutes past, 5:30, 5:45, 6:00, 6:15. 6:30, 6:45, 7:00, at about 6:50, there was a cool breeze that came in my living room. I can't describe it. I can't explain it. You need to experience it. And I fell into, there was this holy heaviness. It's the first time I experienced it. Suddenly I found myself moving somewhere. Breaking through the clouds. The way I'll describe it is like, say when you're on the plane, but this time you're not in the plane, you are outside the plane, the nose of the plane, and it's taking off. I felt the cold, I saw the cloud, I was breaking through the clouds. Then I came, I said, Lord, this is demonic. I don't like this. And then God said to me, when I said you should wait, it's because I wanted to reveal myself to you, to reveal my kingdom. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not go weary, shall run and not faint. So there is power in waiting. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You don't just come and rush through. There is power in waiting. When I waited, God started to reveal his kingdom. From that day, I've had endless encounters of the kingdom. I've been to rooms in heaven that I can't even share with you because you may not believe me. I've been to places in this world that I have not been physically, that I've been spiritually. That when I'm describing what I've seen, because there is more to life than we know. The realm of the spirit is real. It's for believers. It's not for those new ages and all those wicked demons. It's for you and I, for God to use us. So the key is to learn how to wait. Shall we pray? David. A spirit-led church is a church that knows how to wait on the Lord. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that in the hearts of these men and women, boys and girls, this will be a church, Father, that knows how to wait on you. Because we might have many plans and have many pastors who've had many experiences and come to share. But however good those experiences are, they are humans sharing their experiences. But Father, when we wait on you, that's God bringing us into his word. And that's what you want for all of us. So I pray that this church will be a church that learns how to wait in prayer until you move. In Jesus' name, amen.